This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here we bring women of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host, and I'm very excited to be here today with my friend Shannon Zaragoza. Shannon is someone who I met kind of out of the blue, honestly. I mean, I guess we were at an event, but we very, very quickly just got deep. I feel like I learned about some of the deep, dark parts of her life, and I shared some of my more intimate secrets with her before we ever even knew how many kids each of us had or how long we had been married or where we live or anything. So we just had one of those very interesting encounters where she was quick to be willing to open up and share about some of her very, very difficult experiences in her life. I was honored to listen, and then I also really had the opportunity to just share about my life with her as well. So it's just been a beautiful young friendship that we have, and she's also someone who has been involved in speaking and writing and ministering to others through her story, and so I'm just really thankful to have her here today. Before we get started, I do want the listeners today to know that Shannon's story does involve a difficult topic of childhood abuse. And so we will be handling that in a very responsible and appropriate way. But I do want listeners to know that that will be part of our discussion today. And particularly if you yourself have experienced childhood sexual abuse, or if this is something that you're, you know, that might stir up something within you and your own life experience, please know that we will handle this in a very safe way. We do encourage you to listen to the hope that Shannon has found in her relationship with God. But if you ever need to step away or take a breather, that is perfectly fine. And if you need help, please reach out for help. Reach out to a counseling center, reach out to others who can support you, and seek out the professional assistance that you need. And we just want everyone listening today to really see the power and beauty and glory of God that has come out of the darkness that Shannon has lived through. And we want everyone listening today to have a good experience while we do that. So, Shannon, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Jessica.
Well, I have listened to Shannon share a lot about her life in the past. So I do want to tell you guys that as she shares, if you hear my response, it's not a first time response, because I know that a lot of times I interview people that I know nothing about their life. Mm-hmm. And so what you guys are hearing is just like that's just my knee jerk raw response to whatever they share. But in this case, I have heard Shannon's story before. And so I'm just interested, Shannon, in talking about your journey with the listeners today so that they can hear this story. And I look forward to and really just showcasing how amazing God is and how he meets us even when we have gone through some of the darkest types of experiences. So Thank you first for being willing to share. And I'm also just really excited to hear about your life and about who God has been to you.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to share. I'm very happy to speak with you today.
All right. So I think we need to start at the beginning. I'm interested to know about your background and your faith journey. So let's just get going. We want to learn all about Shannon and then how God has met you throughout your journey.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well, my journey started in a non-Christian home. I wasn't raised Christian. My parents divorced when I was 2 years old, and my father lived out of state, so I saw him about two times a year growing up. By the time I was, well, I should say I was loosely raised Catholic, I like to say. We basically went to church just for weddings and funerals, so I knew a lot of the ceremonial traditions, but not a regular practicing Catholic. my mother, when I was around 5 years old, started dating a man that had two teenage boys. And it was at the age five that I was sexually abused by his youngest teenage son in every way you can imagine, and probably some ways that you can't imagine that someone would assault a child. Mm-hmm. The abuse lasted 5 years. And when I was around 10 years old, my mother and my stepfather had moved neighborhoods. At that point, I was failing in school. Mm-hmm. I was having social issues. And this moving neighborhoods with different school districts allotted me the opportunity to repeat the fourth grade because I was doing so poorly mm-hmm. in school. This also gave an opportunity not to live with my stepbrother. He wasn't going to be moving with us.
Oh, so, thank God.
Yes, I felt safe enough to disclose the abuse to my mother. And when I did, I remember asking her not to tell my stepfather, because at this point in their marriage, they probably had only been married about 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I was still establishing that trust with my stepdad. And I was so fearful that he wouldn't believe me or protect me mm-hmm. from his son. But he was a retired police officer and absolutely horrified at what his son had done. He actually called.
So she did tell him.
She did tell him. I mean, looking back as an adult now, right? You're like, well, obviously. But as a 10-year-old little girl, you know, you definitely have that knowledge.
Right.
Yeah, that it's not your father. And there is not that sense of safety, mm-hmm. especially at that point in their marriage, because it had only been 3 years. So after disclosure, my stepfather did report it to the local authorities. I was interviewed by a detective. I had a physical examination. My stepbrother was removed from my life and from my father's life. And my mother and stepfather chose not to pursue justice, which at that young age, I actually wanted to. I did go to therapy for a little while. And then after therapy, life just went back to our family normal. Mm-hmm. It wasn't spoken about. I never knew if my biological brothers knew about the abuse. Mm-hmm. And then my mother really put a very large burden on me by asking me not to tell anyone, because she wanted to protect my stepfather. He was so embarrassed and so mortified that his son could do that. And so I was forced to shove that secret down.
Quiet,
and not to address it, especially after you don't know how to sort through it and mm-hmm. where to put it and place it. And that is actually what led me on to later in life, in high school, you know, using drugs and alcohol and mm-hmm. having premarital relations, is I was just so wounded and so shamed and so hurt, but I didn't know why, right? Because I couldn't ever put language to it, because we didn't know that that's normal mm-hmm. as a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. That I was just trying to numb the pain mm-hmm. and trying to, you know, for once in my life, which sounds so bizarre to say this, I actually felt more in control of my body and my life when I was doing those things, because it was my choice, because I hadn't had a choice before.
You were doing it versus someone doing that to you. Yeah. And
pretty much after high school, I started to clean my act up a little. I didn't use drugs, but I still abused alcohol and had premarital relations. I then attended a community college, and one of my classes for history, we were given a list of names of influential historical figures, and I chose Martin Luther, not knowing that he formed the Lutheran Church. I was thinking Martin Luther King Jr. So when I went to the school library, because this was in the 90s, no internet, I'm like, who is this like white guy that like formed this church? And my friend's like, you're such an airhead. So that is what I point to as the pivotal time in my life of starting the journey. Eventually, I dropped out of community college. I enrolled in cosmetology school. And that was really when God was apparent in my life. I became really good friends with this woman who was probably about like 10 years older than me. She was in her 30s. I was in my 20s. And she was funny and fun and just normal and kind. And she was a Christian. And her and her fiance later joked that I was the easiest convert because I was like, can I go to church with you? I just asked her. I had known enough that if I had gone to like the local Catholic church that I had been to a few times, that I was gorgeous and beautiful and traditional, but I never had that connection with God in that place, right?
Right.
So I was looking for more of a connection with God. I knew that. And so eventually, after going to church with her a few times, I stood for the altar call and accepted Christ as my Savior. But it took a while for me to really transform my life. I still would go to church hungover sometimes. I was still partying on the weekends. It was hard for me to give that lifestyle up because it was safe and it was comforting. Mm-hmm. And I did better in that social environment than I did in the Christian social environment. I felt like the worldly environment was much more accepting of me and where I was in that place. And so eventually I moved churches and really started getting in the Word and met.
I have a question.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay, before you tell me the next thing.
Okay.
Okay, because you mentioned I stood for the altar call. I accepted Jesus into my life. Mm-hmm. I don't want to pass by that.
Okay.
As if it was like nothing.
it definitely wasn't.
So let's go back to it for just a second.
Okay.
First of all, tell me more about that moment. Can you paint the picture? And well, before I ask that, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Do you remember it?
Oh, absolutely. I remember.
And I would, because you had gone to this church a couple of times. What I'm hearing you say is that you were thirsty for something that was real.
Right.
Because you had been experienced something that felt very far off and not personal.
Right.
And you were longing for something that was real and that was personal. Mm-hmm. And you were seeing in this other friend of yours that she had it. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah, she did. And what I saw in her, actually some of her story was her and her fiance were living together, got saved, couldn't afford to live apart. They got engaged, but they would sleep with a pillow in between them in bed. Like they were trying to do everything that they could do to live a godly lifestyle in their situation and what they could afford. So,
and she was telling you about these
things. And she's telling me, and she's very honest. And when she stumbled, she's a bartender, you know, she was very honest. And my previous experience with Christians was actually when I was going to the bars, is they're standing on the street corner telling you that you're a sinner and you're going to hell.
Okay.
It's the fire and brimstone.
Uh-huh.
I had met one really nice guy that I worked with when I waitressed and we were friends and I was interested in dating him. And he was like, you're not, and he, in a loving way, you're not a Christian. I really want to date a Christian woman. But to me, I was so turned off by that, right? I didn't understand. I was like insulted. I'm like, I'm a nice girl.
Yeah, right.
So aside from him, I hadn't, it was not knowing where to get it, right? I was hungry for this one thing of finding God and the authentic God in a relationship and not having the right person in my life to show me that love and that acceptance and that non-judgment until I met her in cosmetology school.
And she showed you that God is a welcoming God.
Yes.
Which, please, anyone listening, let me just break whatever myth is out there that God is not welcoming. That is not true. It could not be further from the truth. God is so welcoming. Mm-hmm. He come one, come all.
Absolutely.
Feast.
Yeah.
You know, he is open arms. He wants you. Mm-hmm. He is longing for you to come and be made whole in him. Mm-hmm. He wants a restored relationship with you. Mm-hmm. And it does not matter what your walk of life is, what your religious background is, God wants you to come to him. And he has made a way for you through Jesus.
Yes.
And so there is no judgment there. It is just come to the table, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so your bartender friend showed you
yes
that God is a welcoming God and mm-hmm. he welcomes you too. Yes. And that's how you ended up at this church. So now I know we mm-hmm. have lots to still talk yeah. about, but I would love if you would tell us, if you remember that day, mm-hmm. just paint the picture real quick. What happened that day?
It was a very large church.
Okay.
And it had been in the community for a long time. I was also receiving a lot of resistance from my family. So it was hard for me, but I did feel safe in the environment that they weren't there and I could do this thing. I could accept Christ. I could stand up and pray this prayer and have a relationship with Christ, and it didn't matter what my family thought. And so I don't remember what the sermon was about.
Right.
I don't remember what he said, but I just remember finally having the courage to actually stand up in this large church, praying that everyone's eyes were closed, like the pastor said they were supposed right. to be, but looking over next to me at my friend and her husband mm-hmm. who were sobbing because they mm-hmm. were new believers. And yeah. I was their first, you know, person, friend that had yeah. come that they had such an impact on wow. to come to Christ. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was an amazing
day. You can remember standing up mm-hmm. and I'm sure there was a sense of like, almost there's this trembling, right? Mm-hmm. But it's you're safe.
Yes.
So yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank yeah. you for letting me go back to yeah. that day, to that moment. Just because, you know, I think whenever we have been in relationship with God for a while, mm-hmm. and particularly if you're in Christian circles, people are like, oh yeah, I accepted Christ when I was 15 or yeah. I don't ever want to take what he does for us in those moments for granted. And I also think a lot, that's also one of the mysterious things about Christianity mm-hmm. that sometimes we just don't talk about it. And other people are like, what are they talking about? Yeah. What, you know?
Yeah.
So, showing up and then feeling compelled that this God is a safe God who loves me and I want to surrender to him and mm-hmm. invite him into my life to claim me as his own. Mm-hmm. And in your case, it was physically stand up and say, that's me.
Yes.
And then he moves into your life. Yeah. So obviously mm-hmm. it wasn't some sort of, oh, the very next day you're some, you know, yeah. like, I mean, you're still living the behaviors of uh-huh. your life, but you had begun a spiritual journey at that point that took you through until sitting here today. So yes. Tell me what happened next.
Yeah. So next, I stayed at that church a little while. I got baptized there. I started working at the salon where my hairstylist was working, and she hired me as an assistant. Eventually my friend from cosmetology school started working with me. And when I was working there, she was only paying me per shampoo instead of an hourly salary. Mm-hmm. I was also a shot girl by night at a local sports club.
Everyone needs, we need multiple shampoos per yeah. client in order yes. for Shannon to get a little bit more of a paycheck.
Yes. So I was so tired of the bar scene that yeah. I quit that and I was just assisting and I wasn't making any money. So uh-huh. my mom at the time was a preschool teacher. So she had put flyers out for me, you know, babysitting jobs. And one of the clients at the salon was a former employee. And she was married to a pastor and they had a tiny little plant church in Hermosa Beach. I grew up in Los Angeles. I did forget to say that.
Oh yeah.
I forgot to say that. Yeah, yeah. Cause that is part of the later part of the yeah. story. But,
all of this is in
Los Angeles.
Everything we've talked about so far has been in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And my biological father lived in Reno, Nevada. So
okay,
that was why
it.
I only saw him two times. Yeah. So worked by the beach and, started attending a church there. That's where I met my husband. I started actually babysitting there. They were paying me to help out in the kids ministry on Sundays. So it was a little more stable income. Then I started attending, you know, if there weren't a lot of kids, met my husband, was really seeking God on marriage. And by this time I was, you know, not having relationships, not drinking, mm-hmm. not abusing drugs, really living what I thought was a good Christian lifestyle. Mm-hmm. God was really speaking to me and I was seeking him. Met my husband, married 4 kids.
Whoa.
Yeah. For the sake of time, you know, our faith throughout our relationship has ebbed and flowed. We've had really difficult seasons. We've had a lot of loss, a lot of grief. I brought a lot of trauma into my relationship that I didn't know about. Mm-hmm. I thought I had been healed up until mm-hmm. that point. In 2013, my stepdad and my biological dad died 2 weeks apart.
Wow.
That's such another long story, yeah. But I was so stressed out that I had a bald spot on the back of my head. My mom really fell apart at that point and relied on us. We stayed in California.
She was still married to your stepdad.
She was married to my stepdad when he passed away. Okay. And it was very quick. He got diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer in August, died November 1st.
Wow.
So it was a whirlwind of, yeah, him dying.
And did you have a relationship with him that, like, was it a...
I did. I considered him my dad. Okay. Yeah, when I got married, he and my biological dad walked me down the aisle. And I told him, you know, in a perfect world, if I wasn't worried about hurting my father's feelings, it would just be you. Because to me, he really was my protector. I mean, the only justice I've ever received in my story, in my life, was that my stepfather chose me over his biological son. Mm. And I remember that when I get frustrated about the lack of justice in my story. So yes, we were close. I was devastated. Didn't have a chance to grieve that because mm-hmm. we were supporting, you know, my mom emotionally. And I had my third child, I have 4, was like a year old at the time.
Wow.
So yeah, so
busy life and then lots of emotional.
Yeah. When I was 40, we moved to Virginia. We wanted a different, better lifestyle. And we moved here and it was
West Coast to East Coast.
Yes. Because in my head, where can you get a job? You're an engineer. There's a ton of jobs around here. So we were like, yep, Virginia sounds great. Moved here, bought our dream house. Like life was so good. And then my brother calls one day and tells me that my mom is getting married and she met this man on the internet and had been together about 6 weeks and the family hadn't met him at this point. And she wanted me to call her after my brother had got off the phone. So I did. And it escalated so quickly, Jessica. And I cursed and I screamed and I responded in a way that I never would have thought I did. And I didn't know why. And
It
was anger. It was rage. It was like this vile rage, like raising up inside of me. And I didn't know why, because my stepdad had been gone for 5 years at that point. And I remember saying to her, if you do this, mom, I'm done. And she said, we all have choices to make. And I hung the phone up on her. And that was the last time I ever spoke to her. And through writing her a letter after, I realized that all of the anger and the shame and the blame and the unanswered questions and everything just
was festering under the surface.
Yeah. And I felt like she hadn't learned a valuable lesson in that I literally sacrificed my body the last time she brought someone into our family. And she didn't learn from that and move forward in caution the next time. So I wasn't willing to subject myself to that or my children.
It made you feel vulnerable I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. So
there was a connection from the first time that she remarried to the second time she was remarried.
And when, again, thinking I was healed, because there's layers of healings and God wants to dig up and unveil those things that are shoved down. I was blindsided because I had no idea that that was even like below
on the table.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Sorry. I was thinking you were blindsided by her to getting married, which you were.
I was.
But you were also blindsided by your own emotional response and the fact that all of this kind of, it like took the top off of something that was in a pressure cooker.
Yeah. That otherwise probably would have still be there. Mm-hmm. I mean, till now, you know, I thought I was coping with it in the right way. I knew that it had popped up in parenting. I was still am protective of my children. Mm-hmm. You know, it impacts every area of your life, but I never knew the severity of it. I think I felt like I was drowning so severely that it was like when I could say I could go to God, it was like crying in desperation. Like, tear-drenched carpet. Like, what's happening right now? Like, the denial of, like, did that really happen? Did my mom just abandon me for another man? Like, what? And then what are all these other emotions around the abuse that I'm facing for the first time? Mm-hmm. And looking back at the past and reevaluating. And so he absolutely took me on a journey. Through it, he carried me.
After going through these experiences, and especially the fact that you found God in the midst of this, mm-hmm. right? You were seeking a safe place. You were seeking God who would be real and personal with you and not this far off like idea of God. Mm-hmm. And you found that. Mm-hmm. And then from that point forward, I mean, obviously we just touched on it, but over time, mm-hmm. your lifestyle, your behaviors changed, and also, you know, some of your practices and the way you got to know God and everything else. I'm just curious, you know, what would you say, when you think about God, what is it that you would say you've learned about God through all of this?
So much. I have my top four.
Okay.
The first thing I would say is that there is nothing God will not do to pursue you. Mm-hmm. As far as even removing you from a relationship that you relied so heavily on just to have you, that God redeems, but not always in the way that we think he's going to redeem, that speaking my lament in anger and distrust, is true intimacy with God. I learned that, because that's all I was speaking in the beginning. And I learned that I needed to forgive God. I never realized the anger and the blame that I put on God about my abuse, about the family I was born into.
Whenever I think about the path of going through really all hardships, and of course here we're talking about some extreme like criminal behavior, I really think about all of the people that unfortunately have been victims of crime, have experienced extreme hardship, you know, and so forth. And I think to myself, praise God that he is not scared of darkness.
Yes. Yeah.
He is not fearful of evil. Mm-hmm. And what you experienced was evil.
It's wickedness. It is the depth of any evil sin that I can
And ever the fact think of. That God will redeem that and say, you know, God comes into the darkness and brings his light. Mm-hmm. And when I say thank God that he does this, what I mean is I just sometimes in order for me to really capture the awe of the living God and really understand, Jessica, don't ever get used to how amazing he is, is to understand what would it be like if he didn't do these things? Mm-hmm. What would it be like if he wasn't a personal God? Mm-hmm. What would it be like if he wasn't the character, you know, if he didn't have the character of faithfulness and provision and peace and comfort that he has? Mm-hmm. And when you put it in contrast like that, and you think of children going through experiences like what you went through, or you think of other evil things that are taking place in the world, I just think it's just without God, this is just pure destruction with no hope.
It's so true.
And the fact that God can rescue us out of the pit and restore our souls, our minds, our behaviors, all of it, and restore our lives while we're still living on this earth is just remarkable.
Yeah,
it is. And I'm so thankful that he came after you through the testimony and faith of that bartender.
Yes.
And I'm so thankful that he met you in a way that you could find the peace that you needed to be on a journey of healing and restoration of this darkness. Mm-hmm. And you have the marriage and the children that you have at this time, even with all of the hardships that you guys have gone through, he is there to restore and to heal and to bring us into to ultimately make things right. Mm-hmm. And so we live in a place where evil exists, and it is devastating. Mm-hmm. And you obviously know that very well. Mm-hmm. But I'm just thankful that that's not the end.
Yes.
I'm just thankful that the story doesn't end with the fact that we live in a place where there's evil and that we're not sitting here saying there's no hope.
Yeah, absolutely.
There is hope. Mm-hmm. And he does come for the broken. He comes for the weary. He comes for those who are sick. He comes for those who are grieving and who have been wronged. Mm-hmm. And he makes it right.
Yeah. You know, like I've said, my faith has ebbed and flowed. The darkness sometimes is very still real. I don't want to paint this picture that, oh, I've been healed, I've been set free.
Right,
I mean,
right.
It is a day to day. I have very difficult times and I have very great times. So I would encourage them that way. You know, if you're having a dark season, if you're having a difficult time, God is still there. He is still sustaining you. Again, you're right where you need to be, and take it day to day, because that is very normal when you're struggling through a difficult season in your life.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. Yes, I'm so glad we had this conversation
today. Thank you.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited, because new episodes release every week.